시원 시대 담아서 지방 다 가슴 시원 시대 다 미소디 안 흉치고 마음부터 흉치고 다이리 시도 네게 시도 다 자꾸 높은 지혜시 다 남성 남보다 강한 인물이 다 뒤에 시진 시제 마음부터 소소했다 등상도 흉문부 이제 돌아 비료해서 진짜 뭐하는 또 가라 한번 소도 겉으로 어떻게 말해 최근에 더 도바시 어떻게 속을
So as I mentioned to you before, the main objective of this basic program is to provide a foundation, you know, a foundational understanding and knowledge, you know, so as to enable you to learn the great treatises and those great treatises to look at and study those great treatises yeah, in the future. Yeah. And many of these great treatises are already available in English. Yeah. So whatever foundational understanding that you gain from this basic program will then enable you to at least understand, you know, when you read these texts yeah, in the future.
특히 제단 다티라얀 가서다 타냐 사오고 지고에서 다 타냐 마보지 소소다 담보다 나는 교토고에 봐 아니지 교토게 다티 통다 가리에 디제라 다 디시 잡토에 어디데 다 담보 안에 타냐 고랑다 심고고요 봐 너 심제다
So of course, at the when you are learning something like this, you know, for the first time, yeah, it may be a bit challenging. Yeah, but as I mentioned to you before, first you must memorize the terms. Yeah, okay, memorize the terms. At least you should be able to say, you know, or you know, at least be able to repeat some of these terms. You know. Then on that basis, then later on, you know, then you should try to be able to explain, you know, what these terms mean. Yeah. But in the very first place, you must know what the terms are. Yeah. What are the this all these you know, many new words or you know, yeah, you see in the notes and in the teachings. Yeah, okay. So you have no choice. You know, you really have got to memorize these terms. Yeah. So there's no way out whatsoever. Okay, we've finished two lessons so far, right? So if there's anything from these two lessons that you do not understand, or if there's anything that you need further clarification, you may bring it up right now. Yeah. Okay. So the set of notes that have been given out today is the second set of notes for that have been given out so far. Yeah. You must press and hold.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Last lesson, you were comparing the divisions of functional things, being matter, consciousness, and non-associated compositional factor. And you were saying that, like comparing the three of them, matter, consciousness, and non-associated compositional factor, they are mutually exclusive. I would like to ask, is that a possibility that is only comparing in terms of lateral and not vertical? By means of vertical, I mean that like matter consciousness, for instance, is two, are both belongs to functional thing. So can I say when I compare with matter and consciousness, they are something which is, they are matter and consciousness both belongs to, which is a functional thing. Like lateral would be just matter and consciousness and non-associated compositional factor. Then I agree those three would not have, you know, laterally. They are mutually exclusive. But vertically, that means if you were saying that like a functional thing or object of knowledge, they are both under those terms.
You're trying to ascertain the limits of the pervasion?
Yeah, I think is the maybe the boundaries of comparison. Maybe I'm not clear. Need to be like qualified. Otherwise, I immediately think, hey, how come it's not a functional thing? It's not an object of knowledge, you know?
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
So that's why I said the comparison of phenomena is very important. Yeah, as you know, phenomena can compare in different ways. Yeah, you know, we talk about three permutations and four permutations. These tools are extremely important in the investigation of phenomena. Yeah, so for example, what are the possibilities existing between object of knowledge and consciousness? For example, anybody want to try? Object of knowledge and consciousness. How many permutations are there between these two? Three or four? How many?
Three
or four? Three. Okay. So we need to think, is there something that is an object of knowledge but not consciousness? Is there not? Right, so there is something, so when you say that there is something that is an object of knowledge but isn't a consciousness, from this you can see that the limits of pervasion of object of knowledge is greater than the limits of pervasion of consciousness, isn't it? In simple English, it means object of knowledge covers more things than consciousness, isn't it? Right? So there is something that is object of consciousness, object of knowledge, but not consciousness, isn't it? There is, yeah. So you have to posit an illustration. An illustration would be, for example, a horse. A a horse. A horse is an object of knowledge, but it's not consciousness, isn't it? Right? Tiwo.
Kile. Atujin. That too, sin paatsi indo kala. Shaba inge, shaja ma inge, jiyare le sin miti watanga.
So if I were to ask you, is there something that is a consciousness but not an object of knowledge? Is there something that is a consciousness but not an object of knowledge? No. Okay. So there isn't something that is a consciousness but not object of knowledge, right? Not possible, yeah? So is...
네가 말해. 다 준생 가르쳐나 시아바이나 시아자 인국이 말했다. 메바데 가르쳐나 시아바이나 시아자 인국이 말했어.
There isn't something which is a consciousness but not an object of knowledge, right? No, yeah. But what's the reason? Because if it is a consciousness, it is necessarily an object of knowledge. It's necessarily an existence, isn't it? Yeah. So you have to memorize the table, is it? Otherwise, is there something that is both? Is there something that is an object of knowledge and consciousness? Example, quick example. Something that is both. Very easy, anything.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can posit I consciousness as a illustration of something that is both an object of knowledge and consciousness, isn't it? Is there something that is not both? Is there an existence that's neither an object of knowledge nor consciousness? Is there such a thing? Huh? Is the sky fall an existent? So are you able to posit something that is not an object of knowledge and not consciousness? Illustration? Huh?
Sky flower. Okay? Remember that.
You like the sky flower, yeah? You can be found in garden by the bay. Sir.
Next time whenever I ask question, you just answer sky flower. So clear your question? Did I answer your question or not?
Actually, just now the conversation, just now the replies implies that it's between functional things and one of the lower, like matter or consciousness, rather than matter and consciousness having a common thing. Just now, we were illustrating. That's what I understand. I might be wrong. That is talking about a functioning thing and consciousness. Those are all agree. I agree all that, you know, just now what we discussed. However, my question was like between matter and consciousness, they do have common things in the sense that they are both functional phenomena.
So you're saying that matter and consciousness are not mutually exclusive because there's something that is both. For example, functioning thing. Are you saying something like that?
Yeah. Like vertical, you cannot compare vertically, meaning that you can't go up to functional phenomena. Rather, you have to restrict it to matter consciousness, on that lateral level.
There isn't something that is both matter and consciousness, right? They are we say that they are mutually exclusive, isn't it? Right?
Ta duk sido kala ta yang ni jukuru ta chuje chuje ngo bo chuje la ba na ngo bo di ta ni ga ra wa sa na ni zo bo zo ngo bo di xia ba le ani ben ba le wa sa na ni
okay yeah. Matter and consciousness are mutually exclusive. There isn't something that is both, right? Both matter and consciousness, yeah? There isn't something, yeah? Okay, then somebody comes and debate with you. Oh, the subject functioning thing is both matter and consciousness. Then what are you going to say?
The jiwa dangdang ni duwa. Ta penpo dan shepa ni ka ngobo riwe se ne jiwa dangdang jik.
So there are two different ways of asking this, the question. You know. Are both matter and consciousness functioning thing? Or another way of asking is functioning thing both matter and consciousness?
So how will you
answer the first question? Are both matter and consciousness functioning things? So somebody asks you, is a functioning thing consciousness? Is functioning thing consciousness? Somebody would ask you? No.
Yeah. What would be? Answer would be what? Huh?
No. It has to be yes or no. Is functioning thing consciousness?
If
we make it easier, is functioning thing a person?
Make easier. The functioning thing is person?
Is functioning thing a person?
The question is not that.
Is functioning thing a person? Yes or no? Huh? So if you say, those of you who say yes, why do you say yes? Why is functioning thing a person?
Here to answer your question. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Functioning thing is quite extensive, yeah. So if you ask, is functioning thing person? What will you say? Is functioning thing person?
It's
very simple to answer. If you say if it is person, then you also have to say functioning thing is horse, is elephant, is cow, is...
Functioning thing is elephant? Simple question. Mm-hmm. What do you answer?
Is functioning thing an elephant?
Rather, elephant is a functional thing.
Everyone.
Elephant is functioning, is no doubt. Okay, now question is functioning things, elephant.
Not necessary.
Yeah, not necessary, I agree that. But is functioning thing, elephant.
I will have to say no then.
Yeah? No horse?
No.
Not you?
Same apply, no.
Not you? Not
no.
Consciousness? Same reason?
Not matter, not consciousness.
Therefore, I cannot say matter and consciousness.
And is matter and consciousness, they are functioning things.
Yes.
No difficulty, no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody agree, right? Okay, so consciousness and matter are functioning things. They are functioning things. No problem. So, but then if you ask, is functioning thing consciousness? What do you think? Is it better to say yes or you should say no?
No.
That did some sana, Shepard Elamna, or Shepard, engaging your wise song, Shepard in Opo in song. Did some sana, Shepard in Lamna, music this Opo the Shepard in Lamna, in about the Kansa Reves, Nema, the Nata Reves, Palan Reves, Tuchina, and Kabuchi.
So if you say that functioning thing is consciousness, yeah. Or whatever, you know. Then you know, then all the questions will come. Oh, is it a horse? Is it a person? Is it a, you know, whatever, I know, whatever illustrations I put out, then it becomes very difficult to answer, yeah.
So I have to compare only laterally, not vertically. In other words, the conclusion with the
I don't know what you mean by laterally, but it depends, you know. What is it like the two objects of comparison must be very clear. What are you comparing?
See,
we can't say in general like that.
Consciousness and matter are both functional things. Therefore, they are not mutually exclusive.
Oh.
So sorry.
네가 시도 요래서 네가 인게 요래서
심도 네가 인게도 쉬워라 네가 심도 요래 네가 인게도 가르샤 조진 쪽으로 왔다.
Okay, you say that there's a common locus. Basically, you say there's a common locus, yeah. Between the two, right? There is something that is both matter and consciousness, right? Fine. Please give me an illustration. Illustration.
Of an actual example, is that?
No, illustration, yeah.
네가 유아래서 네가 유나한테 샤고로 지금.
So if there's something that is both, you should be able to point to give an illustration of something that's both, a specific, you know, example, right? 뭐라?
They're impermanent. So yeah, I would say they're impermanent things.
Huh?
They're impermanent phenomena.
Impermanent phenomena.
Yeah.
다 저는 지금 봐. 다 미타바디 샤바나 편보 네가 되겠다.
It's the same thing. If you say impermanent phenomenon, then I ask you, is impermanent phenomenon both matter and consciousness?
Are you saying that?
No. No.
Then you got engaged in the
door. So there's nothing that is both, right?
Okay. I think I kind of get it. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Go.
Bye to you, right? I think today quite a lot of people want to ask questions, I think.
Chiwa
So it's important, you know. So when there's a question and answer, it's not between two people, it's between every one of us here. You must pay attention. What is being asked? What is the answer? This because this is a critical, it's an important part of the learning process, you know. Right?
Okay, Ken Rinpoche, I need to understand the difference between eye sense power and eye consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
We know there is a difference. One is matter, one is consciousness. But under matter, it must be atomically established.
Uh-huh.
So I sense power, for it to be atomically established, I mean, what is it? Is it the eye? You know what I mean? Is it your iris and your eyeball? You know, and that's one, because I can't see the difference. I can't see the difference between eye sense power and, I mean, you can sort of know one is matter, one is consciousness. But let's say we have the eye. Can we say that the eye is a non-associated compositional factor consisting of eye sense power, which has a form like the eyeball and the iris, and it has eye consciousness?
So basically she's saying eye is a non-associated compositional factor, basically. Yeah. You agree or not?
Mix.
The English word eye, right?
Mm.
Yes. Eye means the eyeball.
Yeah, the eyeball, yeah, and for it to have sight.
In English it's synonymous, right? Eye and eyeball. In English, not philosophy, in English.
Eye and eyeball is same.
In English, right? In English they refer the same thing, no?
No, because eyeball is the physical form, which I think is matter.
Eye is not physical?
Eye has more than form. Eye has...
What
is no,
eye?
No, the eye here. No. You can't talk. No. We layman's English, eyes.
Eye has sight. But to have sight, it must have the eyeball and the iris. No?
So you're saying which is the non-associated compositional factor? The eye or the eyeball?
Eye.
The eye, which is?
The eyeball.
Eye consciousness.
Is the eyeball, which is the eye sense power, I think, matter, and eye consciousness. Because I'm trying to understand the internal matter with the sense consciousness. And if internal matter has to be...
Atomically established.
Then it must have a form.
Yeah.
Which I think is the iris and the eyeball, right? And the retina and everything, you know? So that's the dilemma I'm facing.
So I think basically she wants to know what exactly is the eye sense power.
Mm-hmm. gudung doa, grapes. Tindai so zang jiu sejda, belum kambu di sini kau.
Nah, kambu.
Gudung doa, grapes.
No,
dry grapes.
No,
cecung tahas jiu ada sejda, di nangla tindai jab doa, zai nangla tindai.
So what exactly is the eye sense power? So according to the Great Exposition School and the Sutra School, the first two tenets here, they assert that the eye sense power is a form, specifically it's a clear form. And I don't think it refers to the entire eyeball, but something inside the entire eye, inside the eyeball, there's something inside that is posited as the eye sense power. And in the Abhidhamma, the size of the eye sense power is posited to be the size of a raisin.
That tell at ten, that on the tea, tell at ten, the shepherd's games. Tell at ten, shepherd's give that on us.
Anyway, the point here is the eye sense power is a clear form that exists, is a thing that exists inside the eyeball. So it is form, yeah. And independence on this eye sense power, the eye consciousness is, independence on that, the eye consciousness is generated, right? So the sense power here, in this case, the eye sense power is form. And in dependence on this, an eye consciousness is produced. The eye consciousness is consciousness, not form. So you cannot posit the eye sense power and the eye consciousness to be the same. They are different. So, and as I mentioned before, I think in the previous lesson, an eye apprehending form can only apprehend a form source. Yeah, an eye consciousness apprehending form apprehends a form source. It cannot apprehend sound, for example. Why? It can only apprehend a form source because of its uncommon empowering condition. So the uncommon empowering condition of an eye consciousness, for the production of an eye consciousness, is the eye sense power. Yeah. Isn't it? So in order for eye consciousness apprehending form to be generated, it must depend on its uncommon empowering condition, which is the eye sense power, right? It must also depend on form, which is this observed object condition, isn't it? Right? So for an eye consciousness apprehending form to be generated, it must depend on its uncommon empowering condition, a physical is an eye sense power, and its observed object condition form, right? But these two alone is not enough. There must be a third condition, which is called the immediately preceding condition, which that refers to, so basically that refers to the consciousness that exists just prior to the production of this I consciousness. Yeah. There must be a consciousness, just existing prior to the production of this I consciousness, the continuum of consciousness, right? What is it that causes an I consciousness apprehending form to be generated in the aspect of clarity and knowing? If it is a consciousness, it's necessarily clear and knowing, isn't it? So an I consciousness apprehending form is generated in the aspect of that which is clear and knowing, isn't it? But what is it that causes I consciousness apprehending form to be generated in the aspect of that which is clear and knowing? Because of the immediately preceding consciousness, the consciousness that existed just prior to the generation of this particular consciousness, isn't it? Yeah. So an I consciousness apprehending form is generated into the aspect of form. What is it that causes an I consciousness apprehending form to be generated into the aspect of form? It is the observed object condition form. Okay, so the I sense power is form, yeah. Okay? It's form. But whether it is form that can be apprehended by the naked eye or not, that is another question, yeah. Right? Because phenomenal form source, sorry, I think the sixth one, yeah. Because you have the five objects, form, sound, smell, taste, touch, but there's also a sixth category which is called the phenomenal form, phenomenal source. The phenomenal form source, there is this sixth category. So this is something to think about. What exactly is this I sense power? Is it, the form or the phenomenal form source? So the I sense power is form. The I consciousness that is generated independence on it is consciousness. But the I sense power, although it is form, but I don't think it refers to the entire eyeball, but rather there is a matter form that is located inside the eyeball, right? So that is posited as the I sense power, yeah. And that is the uncommon empowering condition for the production of a I consciousness, yeah.
Huh? So it follows that form and consciousness are not mutually exclusive then?
Mix.
Okay, so her next part of the question is whether the eye that is labelled on the form, the eye sense power and the eye consciousness, that combination, is that a non-associated composition factors? Just like when you see a person, you see the form and the aggregates and you label a person. So that is a non-composition factor, so person,
uh-huh,
or horse or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You label on the aggregates. So in the same way you label on the eye, which consists of the eye sense power, which is form, and the eye consciousness. So you label on it, does that eye become the non-associated composition factors?
So you're saying blue is not form because it's a non-associated composition factor, because blue is labeled onto the thing that looks like blue. Same like, basically.
What you're trying to say.
Oh, I'm saying exactly what you're saying.
Because I'm trying to figure out what this non-associative composition factor is. Yeah, is it something that's labelled onto something that you call it, like for example, you label on an aggregate of persons, so you call it that person is non-associative. And label on time, like
what
time
is time?
Time is non-associative composition factor.
Yeah, so it's time is labelled on what?
The concept of time, you know? Concept, yeah.
So blue is a concept.
Does it mean that when you label on water, which make up of aggregates of particles of water, is that a non-composition factor too?
So water is also non-associated composition factors?
Which is a bit wrong, I think, but I'm trying to stretch.
So that's why I said blue also. It follows from your reasoning. Blue is also non-associated composition. So basically everything is a non-associated.
Yeah, so how do you categorize actually? Yeah.
So it follows that all the masters have been getting it wrong all the while. Yeah, there's only one division. Yeah. Functioning thing is only...
Okay, since I'm here, maybe I'd just like to share about the answer to his questions from a physics point of view.
Okay.
You see, when you look at the object, what falls in the eye, the retina, is actually the light that shines, that bounces back from the object, goes to the retina. So retina captures it, and it possesses and sends electrical signals to your eye, to the brain,
to the brain, okay.
And that brain forms an image of the object. So the retina, that part where the eye, where the light falls on the retina,
mm-hmm,
that part could be the eye sense power. That's form.
Okay.
So after it's possessed, the electrical sends it to the brain, and your brain somehow possesses it and forms an image of that object, you know. So that is the eye consciousness. That's the consciousness part.
So from a
physics point of view, that's how it works.
So eye consciousness doesn't apprehend form, but apprehends an image of form. You're saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Eye consciousness.
That's why it's permanent. That's why later on you realize this. The image that we generate is actually permanent, right? Yeah. Anyway, back to our non-associated compositional factors.
Yes, back to what now?
Huh? Non-associated compositional factors. Is that how you label the eye as a non? Can it be done that way?
So is eye non-associated compositional factor, right? We're trying to.
This eye. Because it consists of eye sense power and eye consciousness.
So when we use the word eye, it either has to refer to the eye sense power or the eye consciousness, isn't it?
right? There isn't some. So if we talk about I, it has to refer to either one of these, right? There isn't an I that is both this, yeah. So when we use the word I, it refers primarily to the physical I, which is form, yeah. So you know, so that's the when we use the word I, I think it primarily refers to the I, the physical I, the form, isn't it? And as such, therefore, it is necessarily not a non-associated compositional factor, isn't it? Like in the Heart Sutra, we say there's no eye, no ear, no nose, no. They all refer to the physical sense basis, right? Isn't it? So you know, in the Heart Sutra, we say no eye, no ear, nose, and so forth. So I, then that context refers to the eye sense power, right? So if therefore it is necessarily not a non-associated compositional factor, right?
Okay. Come. If not clear, then you must ask. Yeah.
What's phenomenal form source?
Phenomenal
form source.
Oh, what is phenomenal form source? Qi qi su. Okay, the question was, what is a phenomenon form source? There is actually such a thing. Yeah. So if I posit a dream elephant as an illustration of this, let's say, a dream elephant, phenomenon form source, there is such a thing. Yeah. On top of the form, sound, smell, taste, touch, right? There's a sixth category, phenomenon, form, source. An illustration of that is a dream elephant. So, isn't it a dream elephant? A dream elephant is very clear. A dream elephant does not appear to the eye consciousness, right? Or does not appear to any sense consciousness. So the dream elephant appears to what? Appears to a mental consciousness. It can only appear to a mental consciousness, isn't it? Mm. So I guess the phenomenon form source is the subtle form that can appear to a mental consciousness. Yeah, yeah. So a phenomenon form source does not appear, can't appear to a sense consciousness. Yeah, he can appear, but he can appear. It's a subtle form that can appear to a mental consciousness. Yeah. Yes.
So phenomenal form source is not anatomically established.
So the question is
Is phenomenon form source atomically established? Basically, is it matter? So this is something to think about, right? Because you know, in the division of functioning thing, yeah, one of the divisions is matter, isn't it? Yeah. So if we adopt the position that matter is mutually inclusive with form, if we adopt that position that matter is mutually inclusive with form, then you have to say that in this case you have to say that the phenomenon form source is atomically established. You would have to say, right? Bopian, right? If you assert that these two are mutually inclusive, then I mean you're So in the case of a dream elephant, you know, we have to analyze whether it is atomically established or not, you know. It's not something that you can just say, oh yes, no, easily, yeah. So it's easy to understand the form that appears to the sense consciousnesses are atomically established. That is clear. It's easy. It's easy to say. But what about the form that appears to the mental consciousness? So this is from the perspective of the position, you know, that asserts that form and matter are mutually inclusive, yeah. But not all the Buddhist tenets assert that, yeah. Because there are other Buddhist tenets that assert that matter and form are not mutually inclusive, yeah. But even then, we still have to analyze whether the phenomenon form source, or for example, a dream elephant, whether that is atomically established or not, yeah. It is very clear that the phenomenon form source is form. Yeah, a dream. It's very clear in all the texts. It says it's form. Yeah. But the question to analyze is to think about is whether it is atomically established.
Go ahead. Go.
If you put the queue number, you know, ping, then.
Page 7 of the notes, yeah. Back to these three possibilities again. The statement down there states that I think it's quoted from this text called debate in Tibetan Buddhism, right? it says that if there are three possibilities between two phenomena, there must be a common locus. We have understood last lesson that mutually inclusive, mutually exclusive phenomena has three possibilities, and there are no common locus whatsoever between them. So does this statement still stand?
I don't think it's necessary that you must have a possibility that that is both the two objects in comparison. Yeah. That means no that answer.
So this statement actually not really that accurate, yeah?
Yeah. That's more from an existential point of view, I think.
So also then, if that's
not necessary, but that's maybe just giving some example there, I don't know, can be both, yeah,
or
neither also possible.
Mm.
Okay, so all right. So if it is mutually exclusive, is it necessarily that they are three? Because I remember it was said that there can be three.
Mutually exclusive?
Exclusive.
Exclusive?
Yeah, it was mentioned that can be three, but not four. There can be three, but not four possibilities. But I'm asking, is it necessarily must be three? Because I can think of pillar and pot. Something which is pillar, not pot. Something is pot, not pillar.
There's not both. Yeah, something that's not both.
It's not both. It's always three possibilities in that sense. Yeah. So that means if it is mutually exclusive, it is necessary three possibilities.
Uh-huh. That's not possible to have four, yeah?
Not possible, but there are always three possibilities between the two.
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Okay. The last question is regarding this immediately preceding condition. I'm just trying to understand how that fits into a single continuum. Can we say that there can be at a manifest level consciousnesses of the six consciousnesses manifesting at the same time? The eye sense consciousness, ear, nose, tongue, blood, body and mental consciousness all manifesting at the same time. And all of these have their respective immediately preceding conditions. So in other words, at every moment there are all seven consciousnesses manifesting at the same time. So if that's the case, how do we posit a single continuum of consciousness within a person?
Got it, sir. Can you repeat one more?
So my hypothesis is that at any moment there can be all six consciousnesses manifesting.
Every moment.
At any single moment, there can be all six consciousnesses manifesting. That is the base of question. The basis of this question.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then there are respective immediately preceding conditions.
Mm. So
any of the six consciousnesses as well. Then it follows that a single continuum of consciousness has these six consciousnesses preceding each other, generating in the aspect of clear and knowing. So if that's the case, then how do we posit a single continuum of consciousness?
So you're saying that actually without talking about the immediately preceding condition,
yeah.
There are already five sense consciousness, right?
Manifesting, yes.
So you're saying that there are five streams of consciousness?
No, I'm asking if they do manifest all at the same time, therefore they depend on their preceding conditions.
Yes.
So therefore it forms a continuum because of depending on the immediately preceding condition, any of the six consciousnesses.
Mm.
So you regress it back, you form streams of consciousness, streams of continuum. Therefore, there are multiple streams of continuum rather than a single stream of continuum within a person.
So I said, without even going back to the immediately preceding, at any moment there's really five or six consciousness. Yeah, without even talking.
It doesn't form a stream. It doesn't form a stream of consciousness. My problem is that
they're not. They doesn't
form
a stream.
Moment of consciousness, a set of consciousnesses every single moment.
So there are six, yeah.
Yeah, can be six or less or whatever, but they are not a single continual moment of consciousness. But in our philosophy classes, we always hear about a single continuum of consciousness. Yeah?
Of
going from life to life and so on.
Life to life.
I mean even within this life, yeah. So my problem is how to reconcile between this understanding of a single continuum of consciousness, this point, and those streams, those sets of consciousnesses manifesting at the same time, relying on the immediately preceding conditions forming sets of streams of consciousnesses. So how do you reconcile these two seeming contradiction?
So, the immediately preceding condition for the production of any consciousness can be any consciousness that immediately precedes it. It can be, that's it, it doesn't have to be like, let's say in a case of an eye consciousness appearing in form, it doesn't have to be a formal moment of eye consciousness. So the immediately preceding condition can be any of the six, any consciousness, basically. Yeah. Consciousness, right, it says.
Karsana, you want. Takazala says, Yiji Ombo says. Tumama Vita, Yiji Ombo says. T. Ongshegi, Tumoyta, Chagiva.
So the uncommon empowering condition for the production of a mental consciousness is the mental sense power, yeah? Right? The mental sense power. The uncommon, the mental sense power also can also be an uncommon empowering condition of a sense consciousness. So the uncommon empowering condition of a mental consciousness is the mental sense power, isn't it? The mental sense power can also be an empowering condition of the sense consciousness. In that case, it becomes a common empowering condition. You follow? The uncommon empowering condition of a mental consciousness is what? Mental sense power, right? This mental sense power can also act as the empowering condition for the production of a sense consciousness.
Okay.
Empowering.
Yeah. Leave it aside. Yeah. Don't worry. Put it aside, this one. Yeah.
Mental sense power, the consciousness, necessarily.
I have two questions. The first one is this. We in these notes, it was explained to us that the reason we are studying this topic is because we have to understand the basis of selflessness. it says here, yeah? In order to understand selflessness, it is necessary to understand the phenomenon that are the basis of selflessness, because only through this understanding can we gain liberation and thereby be relieved of powerless rebirth, according to these notes. So my first question is this. The presentation of Lorik is always according to the Sutra school. So is there a particular reason why this is so? And since we are all supposed to learn ultimately the highest view for full enlightenment, why is this presentation not studied according to the highest school? That's my first question. And then my second question is actually more a clarification of terms. In the table on page 2 of the notes, there are many terms such as established by a valid cognizer, observed by a valid cognizer, realized by a valid cognizer, known by an awareness. So these terms, established, observed, realized, known, do they all have a common meaning, or do they have their own specific meanings? Yeah, those are my questions. Thank you.
So there are the four tenets, right? Four tenets, yeah. Four established conclusions, or four tenets, yeah. Four Buddhist philosophical systems, we say. But tenets, more accurately, the four tenets. You have to, I guess, it's good to know why there are these four tenets, yeah. In order to know well the assertions of a higher tenet, therefore there is a clear explanation of the assertions of the tenet below it, or beneath it, or lower than it. Okay, so we are now trying to answer why is the study of Lorik here, the mind and knowers, what we are doing here? Why is the study based on the assertions of the Sutra school, and why not on the higher school? So there are four tenets, right? In order to know the assertions of a higher tenet, it's important to be clear as about the assertions of the lower tenets, yeah. So the study of Lorik here is based mainly on the assertions of from the perspective of the Sutra school. Why? Because the vast majority of the Buddhist tenets, yeah, have similar assertions as to what constitutes a valid cognizer and so forth. Basically, the assertions with regard, or their presentations with regard to mind, is mainly same. Not same, but mainly same. amongst the vast majority of the Buddhist tenets. That means from the Great Exposition School up to the Autonomy Middleway School. The only exception is the Consequence Middleway School, which is the pinnacle, the highest, right? So basically, starting from the Autonomy Middleway School and all the tenets beneath it, all of them have roughly the same understanding with regards to, you know, what we are studying here, Lorik, mind and its functions. Okay?
So,
in order to appreciate, you know, the unique features of the higher tenets, you need to know the assertions of the lower tenets. On the basis of knowing well the assertions of the beliefs of the lower systems, then when the higher systems are presented, you know, then you'll be able to see the difference, you know, stands apart. Oh, like that, you know. What makes the higher tenets stands out, you know? Right.
Then next question, somebody got some.
Drupa, Tokpa.
Drupa, Chime Drupa,
Tokpa. Chime Drupa, Chime Mikpa. Tokpa, Drupa.
Chime Mikpa, Chime Drupa. Ani? Chime Shawa, Sheja. They all sing. Yeah.
How is dream elephant different from a sky flower? How is a dream elephant, which is a phenomenon form source, different from a sky flower? Because to me, both do not exist, right?
Dream elephant doesn't exist?
No. How can it exist?
You sure dream elephant doesn't exist?
Imagine one.
Next time take initiation, don't dream.
Dream elephant exists?
Of course.
Blue snow mountain exists?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't say dream blue snow mountain.
To me it's like both do not exist. But one is under impermanent phenomenon. The sky flower is permanent. Then that will make dream elephant an existence. Eh?
Sky flower is permanent phenomenon.
No. No, not but not phenomenon. Not phenomenon, okay. Not phenomenon, yeah. Don't exist. Then dream elephant exists. I mean, how do you really differentiate the two?
You see the white hair?
I also growing.
What do you guys think? A dream elephant exists not? Okay, the elephant that is conjured by an illusionist exists or not? You must listen to the question. The question is, does the elephant conjured by the illusionist exist or not? The question is not, does elephant exist or not? The question is not whether it's elephant or not. The question is, does the elephant that is conjured by illusionist exist or not? There is an elephant that that is conjured by illusionist. Elephant conjured by illusionist. This is a noun phrase, the thing. Elephant conjured by illusionist exists or not? It doesn't. Yes or no? You don't have. The English is not clear enough. You must answer the question quickly. You depending on what the question, how the question is phrased, then you answer accordingly. Okay? Whether you answer yes, no, or if the question is asking for yes, no, you answer yes, no. If the question is asking, is it necessarily this or that, then you answer according to the pervasion. Yeah. Does the elephant conjured by the illusionist exist? But if you were to ask, is the elephant conjured by the illusionist an elephant? Everybody will say no, right? If you say yes, wow, 笑了. I don't think anybody will say yes, right? Okay, so the elephant conjured by the illusionist, what is it? Is it form? Is it consciousness? Or is it non-associated compositional factor? What is it? Is it form, consciousness, or non-associated compositional factor? What is it? Form. So of the five, form, sound, smell, taste, and touch, which is it? Is it automatically established? Oh, Sui Kim is not automatically established, so you know the light particle cannot go there, come back, you know. So you agree, no? From physics point of view, that is not form. That's not automatically established. Otherwise, the light cannot reflect, you know. Right. So the elephant conjured by illusionist appears to what? It appears to the eye consciousness, isn't it? It's an object that appears to the eye consciousness, isn't it? So it's form, yeah? So the elephant conjured by the illusionist is form, yeah? Okay? So now we say that the elephant conjured up by the illusionist exists, yeah? So then we have to say that a dream elephant exists, yeah?
What's the difference? One exists, one doesn't exist. What's the difference? You think both same or different? Why? Huh?
Okay, it follows that dream is illusion, but the, you know, the things that are conjured by illusionist is not illusion. So the illusionist does not illusion people.
So today you must be drunk.
Okay, what is the reason for saying that the dream elephant does not exist? What is the reason for dream elephant being a non-existent, basically, right? In the first place, you have to think about dream elephant. What is dream elephant? It has to be, it's posited as what? It's impermanent phenomenon or not? Yes, if it is impermanent phenomenon, it is necessarily either one of those three things, yeah? So what is it? We also have to, explain why a dream elephant exists. Yeah? Why a dream elephant is an existent. Yeah? Why? So what we see as a cup of water is perceived as blood and pus by a hungry ghost. It has to exist in the way it appears, isn't it? What we see, you know, is a cup of liquid, yeah. What we see is water, yeah. And water exists, yeah, for us. It's valid, yeah. We know it, yeah. It's valid, not understanding it's water, right? But when the a hungry ghost sees the same cup of liquid, what it perceives, what appears to them is blood and pus. And for them, blood and pus exists. It is blood and pus, right? So then the gods, yeah, the gods, when they see the same cup of liquid, what they perceive is nectar, yeah. And it exists as nectar for them, right? So depending on the individual karma, yeah, depending on the power of the individual karma, then in that one base, yeah, there has to be three things, isn't it? Nectar, water, and blood pus, right?
Okay, next one. Yeah. I don't know, only dream when I sleep. By daytime, I also dream. It's called daydreaming. So basically, in daytime, if I were to imagine this ground as gold, the pillar as silver, etc.
That's Lester mentioned, let's say.
That's phenomenal form source.
What?
If I were to imagine.
Yeah. Okay.
Celestial mansion and so
on. Okay, you have to imagine this as a celestial mansion, and then.
So that is the phenomenon of form source.
Oh, the appearance of a celestial mansion, yeah.
Is that correct?
It appears to which consciousness?
Whether how valid it is.
You talk about daydream?
Which I do a lot. But I don't necessarily daydream the celestial mansion. But I'm just saying that, you know, in daytime, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you're awake, okay, basically awake.
Yeah.
Just in dream, you can dream of dream elephant, etc.
Yeah.
But in daytime, you were to visualize, like what you say, visualize. Is that a phenomenal form source? Maybe I can visualize having $1 trillion in my bank account. It's called a phenomenal form source.
This ground which is free of pebbles and that prayer. Same one also. One needs to understand the difference between non-conceptual consciousness and conceptual consciousness. Because how they work is different. How they perceive objects, the way they perceive objects is different. So in the case of daydreaming or visualization, basically it's thought, right? Using thought, using your thinking, So whatever appears to a thought, to thought consciousness, is not the actual object, but it is a image, a mental image of that object that you are thinking of, right? Isn't it? So in the case of daydreaming about whatever, that is an appearance to thought, It's an appearance, Appearing to where? To the thought, To thought.
That pena that chitan nanke meto sina ya mati na ya mazo nanke meto na me tokpa ti yung kurwa nanke meto nang sing na ta ti de na wa ti yung kurwa tokpa la na wa ti yung kurwa.
Although sky flower does not exist whatsoever, there can be a conception of sky flower, isn't it? So you think of sky flower, and then what is, when you're thinking of sky flower, what is appearing? It's an appearance, a mental image, a mental appearance of a sky flower, isn't it? You can have a conception of a sky flower, although it doesn't exist in reality. So although there isn't a sky flower, there is the appearance of sky flower to a thought consciousness exists, Sky flower doesn't exist, but the appearance of a sky flower to a thought consciousness apprehending it, that exists, Joe. So, the thing, the sky flower that appears to the thought consciousness apprehending it, that is a mental image. The meaning generality is a mental image. That cannot be, it's not form. It is just a mere factor of imputation. It's a mere imputed factor.
Yeah. 페제타 그러스와다 양고 속수 샤고야 되지 이렇게 자기 요래 사도다
okay so if it is a, if it is in if it is appearing to thought then it is a mental image meaning generality so it is an appearance of the object that you are thinking of it's not the object that is it's not the actual object that is appearing this is in the case of a thought consciousness or conceptual consciousness yeah but if it is appearing to a non-conceptual mental consciousness but is non-conceptual then the thing that is appearing to that you could say is form relax this will come you will come in the future okay
then is the mental image of the sky flower an existent the mental image
of course
oh okay mental image also all mental image are existent
yeah
because
it's a mental because it's a permanent phenomenon
okay
I have difficulty trying to understand what is internal matter and what is external matter. Last lesson, you explained that what is internal matter is that which is within a person's continuum, and that which is external matter is that is not within a person's continuum. So I have the three example, three conclusion. I don't know whether it sounds valid. Okay, for example, can I use the physical body as a demarcation, like the air, the blood, the fluid within when it's within my body is internal matter, and when it's out of the body is external matter?
Or you take out your blood, you go to blood bank, it is external matter.
So I'm
we're saying your blood, we're not saying blood, we're saying your blood take out, become external matter. Put back in again, become internal matter, right?
Cannot put back.
Why cannot put back?
Trying to say is as difficulty trying to understand what is the meaning of within a person's continuum. So I'm trying to use very gross, very
yes, included
example.
Included within the continuum of a person,
right?
Yeah, what
is the meaning, all right? Then the second thing is how about the second question is how about let's say I've got an accident and then I need an organ transplant.
Okay.
And another person donated his organ into my body.
Yeah.
And I need to have the then the operation was successful, you know. So is that organ that belonged to another person internal or external matter? And then the third example is the aggregate of a fetus of a pregnant woman, is it internal or external matter?
The what? Of a pregnant woman?
Aggregate of a fetus of a pregnant woman is internal or external matter. Because this fetus has got its own continuum.
Since the last one was pregnant woman, what? Pugul.
Pugul. Pugul is a woman. Nang Nangi Pugu is a woman. The cheap and what is Nangi and what is Nangi and what is Nangi and what is Nangi and what is
sir nangi pempo da pe na ngal de ke be phu se na ko ji ge su pung de nangi pempo ro
the fetus aggregates that blob of stuff inside the womb that is internal matter isn't it
ta ka se na
right
de pu go de la ko nam she da de de ro pu ko nam she yo ro ko nam she in sa nam she da che de ba che na ko rang ge ju ge de ba che na
We are talking about the baby's body. And this baby is in the womb, right? The baby's body is internal matter because it is included within the continuum of that baby. The baby is a person, isn't it? No, the baby is a person, right? It is the baby's form, isn't it?
부고 죽이 수풍데 동맞다 부고 죽이 수풍데 죽이 두 발에 말했으나 죽이 두 발에
you know in the first place is the baby the question the subject in consideration is the baby's body is the baby's body an internal matter or not yes right because it's included in the continuum of the baby yeah okay very clear yeah
기부 죽이 두 발에 했으나 또 두 발에 기부 죽이 두 발에 속에 쓰는
뜻도 하다 so it is included within the continuum of a person it is yeah the baby yeah so therefore it is a matter that is included within is in is internal matter
나한테 딱 죽이 두 발에 기부 죽이 두 발에 속에 바디 뜻송 하다
so that the baby's body is an internal matter that it is that is included within the continuum of a person is clear, yeah? Body? Agree? So the next question is that included within the continuum of a mother?
Huh?
So even if you say that it is included within the continuum of the mother, any problem? What is it?
Any problem if you say that?
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Until the baby is inside, it belongs to mother. After come out, doesn't belong to mother. not belong to mother.
When the baby is... Oh, this is becoming like physics lesson, biology. And so when the baby is still inside, it is included within the continuum of the mother. Yeah, you could say that. Okay, it's internal matter. Yeah, okay. The poo-poo inside your body. Okay, the poo-poo inside your body is internal matter or not? Huh? It's inside. Is it internal matter or not?
Huh? I don't know why you ask all these questions. Yeah, good thing about. This belongs to you, then cherish.
So there's this handout that was given out right today. Please read this. We will look at this on Thursday.
Yeah, one more question we have then ask ya.
Yeah, if there's anything that you didn't understand from the last two lessons, you know, you can bring it up right now. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah, there's not many people rushing, you know, for the question then.
So sometimes it'd be good if you to feedback, you know, like what difficulty you encounter in your study. You know, like what challenges, you know.
각쇼지는 되게 곧 책 건가 사와 찾기로 해. 나한테 강아지 책을 일단 되게 쉬워 놓으셔야 돼. 책, 말씀을 하시는 다 답시 심해 가래 곧 즉슴지 아니 다게 가와서 이제 즉슴지 아니 가와서는 간대지다고도 단다디 답해지 시행관시로 그렇죠.
So one of the difficulties, like I guess for a lot of you, is the seeing all this for the first time in the words and these new terms, yeah. Okay. But there's no way out. There's only one solution. You have to memorize. Otherwise, there's no way. Yeah. For example, mutually exclusive. Even the word mutually exclusive, you have to know what the word. That is this word. But then you also have to know what it means, right? So you have to memorize the words. Have to. So just to give example of mutually exclusive, what it means, yeah. When you apply it, what it means. In order for something, in order for two objects, any phenomenon in comparison to be mutually exclusive, first, the objects that is they are being compared must first be an existent. The two of them must be different. And number three, there shouldn't be a common locus between the two. That is, when we say common locus, that means you not be able to point to something that is both, whatever you're comparing, A and B. Yeah. Okay? So for example, this is what mutually exclusive means. Yeah. So, if you think about it, you know, more, like I said earlier, if it is an existent, is necessarily a singular phenomenon or different phenomenon, isn't it? It has to be either one, right? So having said that, you know, but do you actually agree, you know, that he has to be like that? If it exists, it's necessarily either a singular phenomenon or a different phenomenon. Or, you know, depending on the context, sometimes you say it's either one or many. Or singular and different. Right? Is it necessary so or not? If something exists, it's necessarily singular phenomenon or what? Different phenomenon. No, different, yeah. Singular and plural phenomenon, is it? No, what? Diver, I can't remember what I say. So. But anyway, you know, right? One and many, basically, yeah. Okay, yeah. This one, yes or no? This is a very important concept, no? Otherwise, next time you want to talk about emptiness, forget it. This is the logic, no? That is proof. Okay, the question to you is, if it exists, if it is an existent, is it necessarily a singular phenomenon or different phenomenon? Is it necessary so? Isn't there something that is not these two things?
Sure, you don't know.
For example, when we say horse is one, yeah? It's a singular phenomenon. Okay, so horse is a singular phenomenon. So when we say horse and elephant, then?
Different,
isn't it? Horse and elephant is not one, yeah? Why? Because it's two.
Very simple. Yeah?
When we say horse is one, yeah, it's singular, yeah, singular, right?
Okay. 어떻게 됐다? 최전 간대지 쪽바이나 미기 최전 간대지 쪽바이는 야나 찍은 거, 야나 다리인 거래다.
So whatever illustration the person can throw at you is either one singular or it is more than one. It's many, diverse, plural, different.
소소 삼았단 말이야. 오, 다 지금 타대 많은 거지. 두 개, 최전선 얘기도 가 삼았단 거야.
So we have to think about whether you can point to something that is both singular and many.
무슨 무시지 지금 타대라 무카즈도 쓰는데 내 돈에 거야 지금 타대 새로.
And also, what about looking at one and many in terms of three possibilities and four possibilities to make it clearer, you know, what's the relationship between the two? Yeah.
다티데시니 메야티 내용으로 왔다나 다 다대 최제랍나 아니 즉대 다대.
So if somebody were to now posit this example, the subject different, is it singular or different phenomenon? The subject different. The subject I'm asking you now is different phenomenon or whatever, you know, different. Is it singular phenomenon or different phenomenon?
What do you think? Different? Why single? Not valid? Okay, we stop here. Yeah. That's your mind will blow up, huh?
Wait. You say one last question, right?
Oh yeah.
I ask you you answer me, I would also don't understand, but Mr. Pua will start, then I can go and read again. So I ask you. It says in the transcript, right? It says a permanent phenomenon, while it is an existent, it does not undergo momentarily change, right? Then you say if a phenomenon is an existent, it is either an impermanent phenomenon or a permanent phenomenon. Then I'm thinking if a phenomenon is... If a phenomenon is impermanent, it means it goes through change every single moment, right? Then how could an existence which does not undergo momentarily change be impermanent? Cannot understand?
What you asking? What do you ask?
If a phenomenon is impermanent, right?
Right.
It means it goes through change in every single moment, right?
Right.
Then why you say here that, then how could an existence which does not undergo momentary change be impermanent? Wrong, huh? Oh, I wrongly.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I also don't know. So I ask you, I hope you know, but you also don't know.
Okay. So you have to bring this along with you on Thursday, okay? Yeah, otherwise you always have to photocopy more and more, you know. So jiri bege jin me do dro ro jin den de gen bo de san ge jin du me de bo yin ge gen nan da shin na je bo